Right, good afternoon, everybody. It's 2:30, so welcome to this compulsory acquisition hearing, which is part of this examination, an application by Roxhill Junction 15 Limited for an order granting development consent for the construction and operation of Northampton Gateway Strategic Rail Freight Interchange. Just to try and short-circuit my introductions, I think we've only got three new personnel here this afternoon. So I'll make my introductions fairly short. I'm sure you're probably aware that we are the examining authority. My name is Philip Asquith. I'm the lead member of this particular panel that comprises the examining authority. On my left is David Brock. On my right is Helen Cassini. Also with us today are Kate Mignano, who's the case manager, and we've got Liam Fedden as well, who's the case officer for this particular application. We, as the examining authority, have been appointed by the Secretary of State to conduct this examination and to report to the Secretary of State for Transport, and our report will carry a recommendation as to whether consent for the project should or should not be given. The purpose of the issue-specific hearing today is we're conducting the hearing in accordance with Sections 93 and 94 of the Planning Act 2008 and Rule 14 of the Infrastructure Planning Examination Procedure Rules of 2010 that relate to the procedure at a hearing. I'm sure you're all be aware now that examinations of applications for development consent orders are principally conducted by a written process, though hearings such as this can be useful in exploring matters and clarifying matters that we need to probe. Really, I think all I need to do is to, for the sake of the audio recording that's taking place today and for our benefit, go around the room and just ask who is present. Can I ask that when you speak, you say who you are and each time indicate who you represent as well? That will, again, help understanding of the audio recording. So I'll start on my left.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon. My name is Alexander Booth, and I am the barrister assisting Northampton Gateway.
Good afternoon. I'm Ian Rigby, representing the promoter, Roxhill Developments.
Good afternoon. Simon Hilditch for BWB Consulting on behalf of Northampton Gateway.
Good afternoon. Marcus Blake from Berris Chartered Surveyors on behalf of Anthony and Gillian Bayment.
Good afternoon, Dino Nola, representing myself and my wife as the owners of Hyde Farm House.
Good afternoon, James Broadbent from Thompson Broadbent.
Sorry, Mr. Broadbent, I didn't catch who you were, what your company is, or what you.
Thompson Broadbent.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, sir. My name is Hereward Philpott, Queen's Counsel. I appear with Mr. Westman and Smith. We're instructed by Osborne Clark on behalf of Ashfield Land, Gaisley GLP, Northampton, the Rail Central applicants.
Thank you. As I've said, there is an audio recording of the hearing. There will be no written note of the hearing, though. Right, we did produce an agenda, which hopefully you've all seen. Anybody not got a copy of that? No? Good. So I think unless there are any procedural matters that anyone wishes to raise at this stage, I'd move swiftly on to the agenda, because that's all I needed to say, I think, by way of introduction. So I think I've covered our welcome and introductions, probably the purpose of the compulsory acquisition hearing. So moving swiftly on to agenda item three, this update on negotiations with parties with relevant interests in the plots covered by the draft development consent order. And then we have some particular matters to be covered. But I think before we look at those particular matters that have been listed on the agenda, can I just turn to the applicant and just ask for a general update as to where things stand in relation to negotiations with interested parties and in respect of the land to be acquired and land for temporary possession?
Well, sir, I'm going to have first crack at providing an update, and if I stray or omit anything, I know those to my left will assist. Since the last compulsory acquisition hearing in December, a number of agreements have been reached with various interested parties, and in particular as regards the agenda, my understanding is that an agreement has been reached with the Earlham family. So in relation to those interests, those matters have been dealt with. Similarly, as regards the Dunkleys' various interests, those were plots 410, 12 and 14 to 17. Agreements there are also signed and agreed. As regards...
Sorry, the plot, just remind me of the plots, 410 and...
10, 12 and 14 through to 17.
Thank you.
As regards... the bayments, obviously, there is an ongoing issue which we'll come to later, but my understanding is that there is no issue as to permanent land take now. The matter which remains open for discussion is concerned with access, and we'll come on to that later. Similarly, as regards the Nolas, and of course we'll come to that later on, and I see Mr. Nola here and also Mr. Broadbent, his representative, the position has moved on insofar as it is no longer proposed by the applicant to compulsorily acquire any permanent land take.
Right.
And the position in relation to Rail Central, that is to say, plots 1-7 and 1-12, clearly Mr. Philpott, Mr. Westmoreland Smith are here and will clarify the position, but my understanding, as of the last hearing, was that there was no in-principle objection in relation to that compulsory acquisition, subject to sufficient requirements being included within the development consent order so as to ensure that the compulsory acquisition did not preclude delivery of Rail Central, but I'm sure you'll have further detail on that from
right.
Rail Central.
Thank you. So in terms of outstanding matters, those the ones that you've listed are the only ones in relation to any compulsory acquisition and temporary possession.
That is my understanding, yes, though if I'm gone astray there, that will be confirmed.
Right. And I think, again, just for absolute clarity, I think 92 plots altogether are set to be subject to compulsory acquisition. That's presumably now changed if you're not proposing to compulsorily acquire Mr. and Mrs. Snowler's property.
Good afternoon, Laura Beth Hutton, Eversheds, Sutherland for Northampton Gateway. That's correct. I haven't got the exact number. I don't know if it's 92, but absolutely the NOLA plots are removed.
Right. Perhaps as part of your submissions after the hearing, that just a note to clarify the actual number that are subject to compulsory acquisition and temporary possession would be handy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you. Right, in that case, I think, thank you for that, Mr. Booth and Ms. Hutton. We can move on to item 3A, which is the Rail Central interest, plots 1-7, 1-7 and plots 1-12. Mr. Booth's indicated the general position. Would you like to clarify that or add to what Mr. Booth has already said and where we stand?
Only very briefly, and I appreciate that so far as you and your colleagues are concerned, you're probably familiar with this anyway, but just for the purpose of clarity, as Mr. Booth records, our position so far as compulsory acquisition is concerned effectively now hinges simply on ensuring all the requirements are in place. That's set out in the summary that we provided following the last compulsory acquisition hearing, and the overview of the position that sets out remains accurate. That, sir, as you'll be aware, of course, following the discussions we had earlier today in the issue-specific hearing on the DCO, the only one of those requirements which is in any way outstanding so far as the position between ourselves and the applicant is concerned remains the detail of the footpath diversion, as to which you understand, I hope, following the last hearing, what the current position is, and we will update you following the discussions that are going to take place tomorrow morning. So other than that, I don't really have anything to add by way of an update to what I said last time.
All right, thank you. And nothing further, presumably, Mr. Booth, from your side?
No,
sir,
I don't think I can add anything further.
Right. Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to 3B, which is Mr. and Mrs. Nola's land at Hyatt Farm. Clearly, I've seen the letter from Mr. and Mrs. Nola, and I've also obviously seen the document 814 that relates to what the applicant's intentions were as far as a minor scheme amendment is concerned. The fact that the applicant is no longer wishing to purchase any of your land, can you just put us in the picture as to where things stand now as far as your concerns relating to the to how it affects your land?
Good afternoon, thank you. Our concerns are, as explained in the letter, that the impact of the scheme in terms of noise, the visual impact, has been increased because the volume of the bund has been reduced. The motivation for this, I believe we've articulated in our letter. Perhaps Mr. Broadbent, who's my representative, might be able to couch this in a more legal way. Thank you.
Right. Mr. Broadbent, anything from yourselves on this?
Yes. I think Mr. and Mrs. Noda's concerns are principally that they would... In the event that the scheme proceeds, they would like the maximum mitigation from the scheme. They weren't consulted with regard to any of the proposed changes in document 8.14. Meetings have been sought but have been denied. So it's been very unsatisfactory as to trying to work with Roxhill to try and reach any kind of agreement with Roxhill as to how best to proceed. So I have to say that we are in a situation where Mr. and Mrs. Nola strongly object to the proposals because of the impact on their historic property. And I think that's about as far as we've got to.
Right. It might be helpful, perhaps, if we could put up on the screen a plan showing the actual land in question. Is that feasible? And the plots that are relevant? And perhaps also, if it's feasible, to put up the plan showing the proposed amendments to the scheme that the applicant is wishing to undertake that was attached to the document 814. Right, so just to clarify, the applicant's now saying that you're not purchasing any of Mr. and Mrs. Nola's land, but the scheme has been amended by reduction in the bund height. Is that?
Yeah, the alignment and the design of the bund has been changed. Yeah. We've increased the amount of existing vegetation that's on the side of the bund as well, so thereby the impacts in terms of environmental impacts were certainly no greater than they were previously, and there's a benefit as well of moving the construction works away from the property and mitigating further land take.
The key thing, a key issue in this context, and it may be that Mr. Nola does not accept this, but he's very much the promoter's position that, albeit the shape of the bund has changed, in terms of functionality, there will not be a reduction in the functionality of that bund. And in those circumstances, sir, there can't be any question of Northampton Gateway pursuing compulsory acquisition of the corner of the field which was formerly proposed to compulsorily acquire, because, of course, as you're aware, we would no longer be able to satisfy the statutory tests as regards the necessity to acquire that land for the purposes of the scheme.
Right, it's Mr. Nola or Mr. Broadbent. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, thank you. I quite categorically disagree with what has been stated by the applicant. The bund provides a physical presence. The geometry and the alignment of the road has not changed, but the volume of the bund has reduced dramatically. I cannot talk about any vegetation. In the document, it talks about the existing vegetation staying in place, which is no more than a hedgerow. It was never designed as an acoustic barrier. So let's be very clear about this. For in excess of 50 metres, the height of the bund has been progressively reduced, thereby not providing the physical screen that was there in the original design. So for anyone to say that we're taking away 50 metre odd of bund, there is no change, that is clearly beyond the laws of physics, and I can't accept that. I'm a chartered engineer. I don't have to be a chartered engineer. Anyone with an ounce of common sense can see that there is a material change.
Can I ask that Simon Hilditch describes the changes to the mounding? Can that Simon Hilditch explain the changes to the mounding to you, to the inspector?
Yes, please. Mr. Hilditch from the applicant is going to explain the changes, and then obviously Mr. Nola, if you want to comment on that will be helpful.
So, if I may, by reference to zooming in on the original scheme as originally submitted, the noise and screening bund that is being referred to in this region here, where the underpass for the bridleway diversion goes through, was always shown to be discontinuous. So therefore, we didn't have an extremely long length of subway going underneath the road and the bund. So in the original assessments, that's all that were done. That was all always the case. In the amendment, probably take a long time to zoom. Just, yeah. when one needs a mouse. In the amendment, the bund is simply shown to be tapering off at a slightly greater angle in order to, so the green area shaded is therefore the area of land that is no longer proposed to be acquired in the corner of the field. Again, it is discontinuous over the Bridleway underpass, and the Bridleway underpass being moved by approximately 8 metres. That has been assessed, and I've confirmed this yesterday, and I was talking it through with the various colleagues who have looked at the noise assessment, and they've said this makes no difference to the noise assessment. What I'd also point out is the sort of fence line, the black fence line that's shown along the top of the bund, is the noise fence, and that is in place in both the original scheme and in the revised scheme. So as well as the screening bund, in terms of noise mitigation, you have a noise fence.
Mr. Nola, does that help you at all?
It doesn't add anything to my knowledge. The height of the bund has been reduced, and whatever the effectiveness was, is now less. I also wish to state for the record, as in the letter, in document 8.14, paragraph 5 says, accordingly, the objective of the proposed change is to address concerns raised by the landowner. We did not raise any concerns of about the detailed design. So any changes to this design have not been prompted by any requests by myself or my wife. The motivation for this design is something that the applicant has decided for themselves.
Do you want to answer that point at all, Mr. Hilditch, or Mr. Booth, or yourself?
Sir Morag Thompson, Evershed Southern. The motivation for the change is set out, if you recall, in the document which introduced the plan that we've just had up on the screen. And clearly, when anybody, when you're in discussions and anybody's concerned about acquisition, you revisit the intention to acquire to make sure that there is a need, and that's exactly what happened in this case, so that the reconsideration was given to the need to acquire land from the Nolas, and in addition to the fact that there is a desire to minimise the impact upon Hyde Farm, which is a heritage asset. So that's the rationale for the change, and that the changes, and that rationale is set out in the document, the number of which I don't have, is 814, yes. Yeah. So that's the rationale for the change. And normally a change which gives rise to the lack of a need to compulsory acquire is a welcome change.
Can I just ask, in terms of the reduction of the height of the bund, it is what, in terms of measurement, Winnie?
So the, as you can see on the drawing there, the bund at its full height is 3.5 metres. Yeah. And as I said previously, was always shown to be tapering down to the before the underpass, because it didn't go over where the bridleway is. It just tapers down over a slightly longer length.
So it's just a narrower taper then, in fact, a longer taper?
Slightly longer taper, exactly that.
And clearly, Mr. and Mrs. Noel are concerned that this has come about and they haven't. It doesn't result from a request from them to make this alteration. And I think there was some concern that you've not had much contact with the applicants. Do you want to comment on that at all?
I think all through the process, we've consulted over the last, probably over 2 years. And we've also got a meeting, I think a week on Friday, to resolve the issues. And
get to a position where we can actually start moving forward in some terms of
agreement. You're meeting with Mr. and Mrs. Nola a week on
Friday.
Mr. Noel, anything further you want to say then in light of what you've heard?
Yes. We do have a historic building. It's lovely. The impacts on the scheme, on the property by the scheme, are increased by this design amendment, not decreased as stated. The consequence of procuring the land is minimal in terms of the value of the property, the land usage, but the impact in terms of screening is actually quite considerable, because the original design showed the bund extending at almost full height for the entire width of our property. Now it starts to taper quite significantly, well before the end of our property, albeit recognising always as a gap in the bund at the centre line of the bridle way. So the statements made by the applicant saying that the impacts are reduced that cannot be accepted.
Well, clearly, if further meetings are taking place between yourselves and the applicants, I would expect there will be further communication and submission to the examination following that, presumably at deadline 7, which is the final deadline. Right, anything further that either of you want to say relating to this particular matter? Nope. So I'd got item 3D, which was Hillview Farm, land at Rookery Lane, Mr. and Mrs. Bament. But for Mr. Booth, what you're saying is that things have moved on somewhat in terms of their concerns. And
in terms of 3D, yes, my understanding is there's no permanent land take. It's simply a question of access. Yeah. To farmland. My understanding is that is as yet unresolved, though discussions are ongoing. But perhaps we hear from Mr. Blake, or I don't know, Mr.
Right. Yes, please, Mr.
Good afternoon.
Blakely.
Thank you very much. If I just clarify the position as it stands at the moment. You're quite correct, it is purely to do with, I think it's identified as plot 5.3, which is the access to Hillview Farm.
Yeah, again, just before you go on, perhaps if you could manage to put that up, that would be handy. I think it's the land plan 5.5, is it? 5, I think. So it's 5.3.
That's correct. Yep. It's the parcel shaded in yellow. As a quick piece of background, this is the access to a livestock farm where there's quite a large range of buildings, farmhouse, etc. And if you were to drive past it today, it's got a well-established, high-security access. And we just need, I obviously speak on behalf of the Baymans, we just need to be able to continue with such access. As in summary, there are three areas that are still outstanding. The first one is that we're looking for some form of legal undertaking that there will be a transfer of the stopped up section of the A508 to be transferred to the Baymans. Because at the moment, their driveway leads from their property and immediately fronts the highway. Under the proposal, their driveway is extended across the stopped-up highway, and if we don't have the transfer of the stopped-up land, they'll effectively have a ransom strip which they won't own. So that the first point is we are looking for an undertaking that that transfer will take place if the scheme goes ahead. We are secondly looking at a legal undertaking with regard to the provision for temporary access during the construction phase. We have had correspondence from the applicant confirming that it'll take 16 weeks to construct the new access, and obviously we need 24/7 access for animal welfare, etc., during that period, and it needs to be secure. And then finally, we are also working on a legal undertaking with regard to accommodation works, such as the moving of the security gates, etc., as part of, as an undertaking to make sure that these items happen. I will say that we have been working with the applicant over this, and as we've alluded to earlier, I act for both Baymans and for the Earlhams. We've resolved all the Earlham problems. We've resolved a lot of the Bayman problems. So I know we can work on this. But as the latest plans that we've had only arrived after the close of play Friday night, I've only managed to see Mr. Bayman today because he's in the middle of lambing to actually get his feedback on the latest drawings. And therefore, we would like to continue working with Roxhill to see if we can get these three legal undertakings, the transfer of the stopped up road, the temporary access provision, and the permanent accommodation works sorted. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Mr. Booth, in terms of where you see things going and timescales, presumably you are continuing to talk with Mr. Blake, and can we...
Absolutely, sir. I mean, yes, it's correct. I think that the plans, latest revision of the plans was sent out at the end of last week. We obviously hear what Mr. Blake says as regards the availability of Mr. Bayment to consider those plans, but we would anticipate that discussions will be ongoing, and we share the confidence of Mr. Blake that this can be resolved in the same manner that the other queries on the part of Mr. Bayment and the queries on the part of the Earlhams have also been resolved.
Anything further, Mr. Blake, that you want to say?
No. All I would ask is, this is actually causing quite a considerable amount of concern to a farmer right in the middle of his busiest time of year. Would we be able to have any indication of a reasonable timescale to actually get these undertakings in place on the basis that we have been in discussion since part of last year and this has been ongoing for several months? We really would like to put it to bed.
Yeah, I think we've gone a long way in terms of looking at options to give suitable access to Mr. Bayman. We think we're there in terms of the practical solution. Discussing earlier, we think next 3 weeks is a realistic time frame for getting the various undertakings agreed as well.
That would be most welcome if that is achievable. Thank you.
So hopefully we can certainly have something before the close of the inquiry on 9th of April. Examination. Sorry. Yes. Thank you for reminding me, Mr. Rock. Right. Thank you for that, and thank you, Mr. Blake. Right. In terms of the agenda items, that I think covers agenda item three. And item four is consideration of whether updates or revisions to the statements of reasons, books of reference are required, any implications for the drafting of the DCO, revisions to plans. Mr. Booth, any comments on that?
Well, Ms. Hutton has already referred to an amendment, which I think would be necessary, which is to say to excise... the interests of the NOLAs, which is no longer proposed for compulsory acquisition.
Yeah.
And insofar as it's being suggested by the examining authority that we may want to revise the book of reference and so on to reflect the fact that agreements have been reached with various parties, we would resist that proposition on the basis that whilst agreements have been reached, transfers of title have not been effected, and whilst we would expect matters to proceed smoothly, one never says never, and we would wish to retain a compulsory purchase powers within the DCO to guard against the very remote possibility that there is, for some reason, a breakdown of some sort.
Will we be getting written confirmation from you, presumably in relation to the various agreements that have been reached?
Yes, that we can certainly provide that by deadline 6, which is just coming.
Deadline 6 is the next one, yes. Next week, next Thursday.
Tuesday,
I think, yes. Thank you.
I'm just wondering whether deadline 7 might be better.
I'm content for deadline 7. Yeah. I think it's just a question of our having some comfort that we have something in writing before the end of the examination. So deadline 7, I think, probably would be perfectly acceptable. Right, just one or two other matters are moving on to item 5, which is any other compulsory acquisition issues. Just one or two matters, questions I had in relation to the funding statement, which we didn't cover last time round, but for matter of clarification, really. Paragraph 5.3 of the funding statement suggests that anticipated acquisition costs could be in the region of £5 million based on the experience of the applicant. Can I just ask, in terms of that global figure, is that a figure that's been suggested to you by local surveyors? How have you come up with that figure?
Yes, that's a figure, the developer's figure, based on their experience of their acquisition costs. If you just bear with me, I'll just check whether that's experience here or experience elsewhere. That's based on the values already being payable in this location for this scheme.
Right, and those values have been provided by local surveyors or...?
No, the outcome of negotiations.
Outcome of negotiations. So in terms of that global figure, that stands, there's no foreseeable amendment to that as such?
It's not been revisited at all, is the honest answer. Okay. But I don't think there would be any need to revisit that. Yeah.
And I think the funding statement also refers to the possibility of up to 5 claims under the noise insulation regulations, which, again, roughly estimated about £45,000. Is there any further update or any further information on that?
No, sir, there's not.
Okay. And are there any changes to the proposed funding arrangements that are detailed in the funding statement relating to the applicant itself, currently owned 50% by Segro, with the remaining 50% to be acquired by Segro if consent is granted?
No, the same situation applies today.
That remains, yes. Right, okay. And the statement of funding. The funding statement includes an annual report and financial statement for the year ended to March 2017. Presumably, there's been a report and financial statement for the year ended 31st of March of last year. And that also applies to the annual report as well for the accounts for Segro. If those are available, could these be provided?
Yes, I know they're just been published. Well, if they're publicly available, we'll provide them.
If they're publicly available, yeah. Thank you. Right. And just a sort of fairly generic question. Alternatives to compulsory purchase. What are they? Have they been considered? Is there a need to consider them?
There is a section in the statement of reasons, of my recollection right. is, which deals with alternatives. The principal alternative considered was the alignment of the road bypass, if you recall, that might ring a bell, where there's a consideration of that and where that might go. And there is, of course, alternatives considered throughout the planning statement and in the environmental statement. Just being reminded as to whether or not my recollection is correct about alternatives in the statement of reasons. I'll give you the section. Yes, section 4, which then cross-refers to those other documents I referred to.
Right. Okay, thank you. Right. I think those were the questions I had. Are there any other matters relating to either compulsory acquisition or temporary possession that anyone wishes to raise? No? Okay, thank you. So in terms of issues and actions arising, we'll produce an action note, as we have done or are doing. Or I think actually you should have been published by now, but not through our fault. If it hasn't, it's not through anyone to trying on our behalf. It's the PINS machinery. But so that was an action note from the cumulative impacts issue specific hearing yesterday. But we will do an action note for this one as well and publish that as soon as we can. And just a reminder that, as you promised, things for deadline 6, that's next Tuesday, and deadline 7 as well, which I think is 29th of March, isn't it? So, thank you for your attendance at this compulsory acquisition hearing. Just a reminder, sure the applicant and Mr. Philpott doesn't need reminding that we have an open floor hearing tomorrow, so that's starting at 6:30. Anybody that is an interested party that wishes to speak at that is perfectly free to do so. I don't think I need to say any more about that, and so I don't need to say any more at all other than to thank you for your attendance at this issue-specific hearing, which is now closed.